from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says no superhero in realizing world peace. Indonesia must diversify export destination countries. Now the news details. The world did not need to seek a superhero in realizing world peace besides a global leadership of all nations and shared responsibility, according to Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Kalla made the statement in his speech at the general debate session of the 73rd UN General Assembly at the United Nations headquarters in New York City, the United States, on Thursday afternoon local time. He noted that world peace faces increasingly complex global challenges, with instability in political and economic conditions, conflicts that are still rampant, extreme poverty and inequality. Furthermore, Kalla stated that joint leadership was at the core of the United Nations. The Vice President lauded the theme brought to the 73rd UN General Assembly this time, making the United Nations relevant to all nations, global leadership and sharing responsibility for peace, equality and sustainable communities. Kalla began his speech by expressing sympathy for the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, who had died on August 18, 2018. Head of the National Development Planning Agency Bambang Brojonegoro on Thursday in Jakarta encouraged efforts to diversify Indonesia's export products to more countries. He said the need for Indonesia's export diversification was driven by global economic political developments. He gave an example of the current trade war between the US and China. According to him, the dependence of Indonesian exports to one country will have a negative impact on Indonesia if the export destination country issues economic policies that harm Indonesia. He encouraged Indonesia to continue to open export opportunities to traditional markets or even to new export destinations. In addition to export diversification efforts, Bambang Brojonegoro also said that Indonesia must be able to increase competitiveness with other countries. According to him, Indonesia could no longer rely on natural resource-based export. Indonesia must be able to develop its competitiveness through other sectors, including the service sector. Bambang also said that the dependence of export on certain countries and the low competitiveness has become one of the things that needs to be a concern so that Indonesia would not become one of the countries falling due to the global economic crisis. The Ministry of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, on Thursday in Jakarta said that Indonesia has a high potential to develop the domestic economy amid the current global crisis. Indonesia, according to Bambang, must take advantage of the demographic bonuses they have. Bambang explained, This demographic bonus can be utilized by Indonesia until 2045. According to him, this is the best opportunity for the Indonesian people to increase productivity, which will lead to an increase in the economy. He explained Indonesia even has the opportunity to improve its status to become a developed country if it is able to maximize the demographic bonus.
Kita ini sekarang sudah di bonus demografi. Jadi kita ini sedang dalam masa.
We are now in a demographic bonus. We are in a time that is once in a lifetime opportunity. Because this demographic bonus only comes once, you can't make a second volume of demographic bonus. The demographic bonus is only once. The time is actually quite long. Our estimate is up to 2045. We experience a demographic bonus for 35 years. The possible peak of the demographic bonus is around 2030. Between 2025 up to 2030, what does the demographic bonus mean? Young people, large numbers of people of productive age. Why is this demographic bonus important? This is the time when a country can increase its level from middle countries like Indonesia to developed countries. Furthermore, Bang Bang said that Indonesia is also a potential market for foreign investors. This potential must be utilized by opening wider opportunities for more investment to enter Indonesia. The government has issued several policy packages that facilitate the entry of foreign investment into Indonesia. The Indonesian government has also sought to cut the lengthy bureaucratic process that impedes the entry of investment into Indonesia. As part of the 2018 European Union Climate Diplomacy Week program, the European Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia held Eurocharm seminar on working together towards sustainable palm oil in Jakarta on Thursday. The seminar discussed to what extent oil palm growth has supported socio-economic development, consistent with long-term global goals such as conserving biodiversity and mitigating climate change and its impacts. The seminar participants consisted of palm oil processing companies and investors, government officials, academics, organizations or non-governmental organizations, as well as palm oil traders. The chair of Eurocharm Indonesia, Mark Maggi, in his welcoming address, hoped that the seminar would be the right momentum for all parties in Indonesia and the European Union to work together to realize sustainable palm oil in the future.
Our seminar today is entitled Working Together Towards Sustainable Palm Oil. This is what we hope to achieve today. To address the issue of palm oil through dialogue, involving all relevant stakeholders, policymakers, government agencies, private producers, investors, buyers, CSOs, as well as experts. We have invited representatives from both Indonesia and the EU.
On the same occasion, the European Union Ambassador to Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam, Vincent Guren, also said that his side would continuously supervise so that palm oil could help Indonesia achieve its sustainable development goals. His side is aware that by increasing the benefits of palm oil for all people and the world, palm oil is now and for the future can be used as a major commodity for world companies and consumers. State-owned enterprises or BUMN PT Inalum Persero officially controls 51% of PT Freeport Indonesia's shares. This was marked by the signing of a sales and purchase agreement which was conducted on Thursday, September 27th in Jakarta by PT Inalum Persero, PT Freeport McMoRan, and PT Rio Tinto Indonesia. The signing was directly witnessed by Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno, and Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan. After the signing, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati revealed that The divestment of shares between PT Freeport Indonesia and the government of Indonesia was complicated and required a very long process.
Saya tahu bahwa proses ini tidak mudah, banyak sekali detail negosiasi yang saya
I know that this process is not easy. There are many negotiating details that I have to admit that it is a process that is equally complicated. However, with the good intentions of the government of Indonesia and with guidance from Mrs. Rini to PT Inalum and under Richard Ed Kersen leadership, we have finally been able to fulfill and reach an agreement to take over 51% of the shares signed today in the form of a sales purchase agreement. We also continue to finish and are at the final stage. Once again, also through a process that is not easy. Sri Mulyani further explained that the divestment of PT Freeport Indonesia's shares this time was a commitment of Indonesia to fight for the best, both in terms of state revenue, downstream processing through the construction of smelters and management. In addition, he also stated that the government of Indonesia fully respects the rights of investors who come to Indonesia by negotiating, which then result in decisions that benefit all parties concerned. Sri Mulyani also hopes that PT Freeport Indonesia will be able to carry out mining activities in the future while still considering environmental aspects. On the same occasion, he also expressed his gratitude to the CEO of Freeport, Mac Moran, Richard Atkinson, who has negotiated well so far with the government of Indonesia. State-owned company PT Inalum Persero has signed a sales and purchase agreement with PT Freeport Mac Moran and PT Rio Tinto Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday. Thus, the number of PT Freeport Indonesia shares owned by PT Inalum Persero will increase from 9.36% to 51.22%. The share ownership will officially occur after a payment transaction of $3.85 billion, equivalent to 56 trillion rupiah to the holding company of PT Freeport Indonesia, namely Freeport MacMoran, at the end of 2018. After the signing process, the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Ignatius Jonan, said that his ministry is currently just waiting for an official letter of request for a change in the shareholders from Freeport MacMoran, to then follow up on the extension of PT Freeport Indonesia's production operational special mining license for 2 × 10 years until 2041. It is Rio Tinto and Freeport MacMoran which have implemented the sales and purchase agreement. So when HOA is the head of agreement to fulfill the requirements of both parties or the three parties to reach a share purchase agreement. So now it is finished. After this, we wait for PT Freeport Indonesia, not Freeport MacMoran. PT Freeport Indonesia sends a letter to the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources as a regulator to request changes in shareholders. After being sent, we will issue the termination of the work contract and then become a special mining business license. Jonan further explained that the requirements for processing waste also become one of the requirements for the extension of the special mining business license for production operation for PT Freeport Indonesia. The extension can be given with a recommendation from the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry. In addition, Jonan also ensured that PT Freeport Indonesia's obligation to build a copper smelter with a capacity of 2.6 million tons per year will continue to be monitored and evaluated for its development, so that it is expected to be completed in less than 5 years. He stressed that the permit that the government would give to PT Freeport Indonesia in the form of special mining business license was a commitment in maintaining the investment climate so as to provide certainty and security for foreign investors to invest in Indonesia. A total of 92 cyclists from 25 nations and grouped in 19 teams participated in the International Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen or ITDBI 2018 that was flagged off by Banyuwangi District Head Azwar Anas in Banyuwangi, East Java on Wednesday. Being held on September 26 up to 29th, ITDBI comprises 4 stages stretching a total distance of 599 kilometers. The first stage stretched 153.1 kilometers with start from the yard of Banyuwangi District Head's office and finishing in the Rowo Bayu Tourist Resort in Songgon Sub-District, which has a green lake in the middle of a thick forest. Australian cyclist Marcus Kuhls from the St. George's Continental Cycling Team was the first to reach the finish line in the first stage. Rowo Bayu is also the home of King Tawang Alun's remnants from the ancient Blambangan Kingdom. Anas remarked the International Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen or ITDBI is a sport tourism event aimed at promoting tourist destinations in Banyuwangi. This year, the route is 4,000 meters longer than last year's route. According to Guntur Priambodo of the organizing committee of the 2.2 category cycling race, the second stage, stretching 179.3 kilometers, started from Kalibaru. The third stage, spanning 139.4 kilometers, will start in Genteng, and the fourth stage, measuring 127.2 kilometers, will start from Sarangon and finish in Pal Tuding on Mount Ijen slope. Of the 19 participating teams, 15 are foreign teams, including 4 continental teams such as Kinan Cycling Team of Japan, Terengganu Cycling Team of Malaysia, and Ningxia Sports Livial of China. That's the news, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Strategy of European Union to Face China's Control in Asia. More dominant control of China in Asia through the initiative One Belt, One Road policy seems to trigger less conducive situation for European Union. The reason is that China's initiative brings about that burden for countries joining in the program. Some countries in Asia have taken part in the cooperation seemed. Sri Lanka, for instance, builds a seaport worth $1.5 billion. In fact, the country cannot return its foreign debt and has to let China control the seaport for 99 years, exactly until 2016. Another project in Malaysia is also put off by Malaysian government under the leadership of Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. In Indonesia, project of Express Train funded by China has not shown significant progress and it has been criticized. Another country in Asia, Pakistan, tries to consider some aspect before continuing the project with China. Why does European Union pay more attention to Asia? Asia is the region that has developed dynamically. Total population of Asia reaches about 4.5 billion people, including 600 million people of ASEAN, as one of the regions of the world's economic driver. Huge population can be a potential market for European Union, and its growth is less favorable. European Union is aware that China's control is easy to be overcome because China is loyal to help some Asian regions. Meanwhile, European Union, with some problems, are difficult to disburse huge funds to cope with China. What has European Union offered to Asia? European Union has offered employment, economic growth with environmental and social standards. According to European Union, these points become crucial for China. European Union expects its member states to support Asia's connectivity strategy. Based on the planning, the draft will be one of the main discussions in the summit of European Union and Asian leaders in October. Of course, there is no rivalry between China and European Union for good initiative to trigger new conflict in the region. Both sides should develop multilateral cooperation in Asia, which is being seconded by U.S. President Donald Trump. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from a tragedy which occurred on September 21, 1939. The Romanian Prime Minister Armand Calisiu was killed in Bucharest by pro-Nazi members from the Iron Guard. Armand Calisiu was a Romanian economist and politician. He entered parliament in 1926 as a member of the Peasant Party. After the Farmers' Party joined the Romanian National Party to form the National Farmers' Party, he held a number of positions, such as the governor in the province of Argeș. Calisiu split from his party due to an agreement with the non-guard in 1937 and was released during his time as Minister of the Interior during the Octavian Goga. The Iron Guard leader was killed in prison when Calisiu still served as Minister of Home Affairs. In March 1939, King Carol II appointed him as Prime Minister but was killed by members of the Iron Guard 6 months later. Next turn, a historical story which occurred on September 21, 1964, Malta gains its independence from Britain. The Republic of Malta is an island nation in southern Europe. Malta consists of 5 islands, 3 of which are inhabited in the middle of the Mediterranean. Its strategic location has caused Malta to be colonized by various rulers for centuries. Malta is known as a tourism destination, especially for Europeans. Since 1993, Malta has been divided into 68 city councils. On September 21, 1964, Malta won its independence from the United Kingdom. We end with an incident of earthquake in Taiwan, which occurred on September 21, 1999. On September 21, 1999, Chichi, Nantou, Taiwan was rocked by a severe earthquake, measuring 7.3 on the Richter scale. This earthquake caused the death of more than 2,300 people and the biggest material loss in Taiwan's history. As a result of the earthquake, dozens of houses and other buildings collapsed. However, in the Wufeng area, not all buildings collapsed. One of them is Kwang Fu School. To commemorate the earthquake tragedy, Kwang Fu School was made an earthquake museum in Taiwan called the 121 Earthquake Museum of Taiwan. Another earthquake museum is the Wufeng Earthquake Museum, which was firstly opened on February 13, 2001. The museum is also better known as the Museum in Memory of the Earthquake. In the museum, visitors can see the ruins of the building due to the 1999 earthquake while learning about the earthquake. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. For today's topic is Minister of Industry Facilitate IGM Handicraft for Export. Indonesia Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the export of handicraft products by facilitating the small and medium industries engaged in the sector to promote various countries. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto, after attending the opening of the Kin Kriya Indonesia exhibition at the Jakarta Convention Center GCC in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that export potential continues to be encouraged because many handicrafts have a pretty good markets abroad. He also pointed out that the exhibition, which is held every year, displays handicraft products with better quality so that Indonesian handicraft products are increasingly known to the world. He emphasized that his ministry has facilitated 15 small and medium industries to participate in the exhibition inaugurated by Chairperson of National Craft Council, the Kranas, Mufida Yusuf Kalla, and attended by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo. Thousands of Indonesian handicraft products are exhibited in Kriya Nusa 2018, which was initiated by the National Craft Council, the Kranas. Mufida Yusuf Kalla, in the opening remarks of the Kriya Nusa 2018, emphasized that this industry has a very strategic role in the national economy because historically it is very closely related to the daily life of Indonesian people. According to Mufida, the handicraft products can be a mainstay of the regional economy and livelihoods for local people. The craft industry can utilize natural resources and develop community creativity. Mufida also remarked that cultural and artistic wealth in Indonesia is an inspiration and development of handicraft products. Therefore, it is a shared responsibility to continue to maintain, to explore and develop while enriching the creativity of Indonesian handicraft products originating from Indonesian cultural arts. She added that the elements of creation, innovation, and technology need to be improved to maintain the competitiveness of Indonesian products in the global market. Kriya Nusa 2018 is held from 26 to 30 September 2018. Around 350 participants take part by displaying thousands of handicraft products from each region. A number of handicraft products on display include jewelry stones, batik fabrics, woven fabrics, songket fabrics, jumputan fabrics, ceiling lamps or hanging lamps, snakeskin bags, as well as household items typical of Indonesian cultural arts. Meanwhile, Director General of Small and Medium Industry at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibaningsih, said that her site is aiming to increase the high export value in 2018. In 2017, the export value of the small and medium industry products reached $251 million. In addition, the Minister of Industry will also facilitate small and medium industries prompted 15 small and medium industry to attend the world's largest craft exhibition, Ambient, in Frankfurt, Germany. At the previous Ambient exhibition, Indonesia recorded a transaction worth $705,000 in the sales on the spot, while following orders from the event could reach $11 million. According to Gatti, for the exhibition, the target will increase because the global economy has also improved. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is RI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. The world did not need to seek a superhero in realizing world peace besides a global leadership of all nations and shared responsibility, according to Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Head of the National Development Planning Agency Bambang Brojonegoro on Thursday in Jakarta encouraged efforts to diversify Indonesia's export products to more countries. The Minister of National Development Planning, Head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, on Thursday in Jakarta, said that Indonesia has a high potential to develop the domestic economy amid the current global crisis. As part of the 2018 European Union Climate Diplomacy Week program, the European Chamber of Commerce in Indonesia held Eurocharm Seminar on Working Together Towards Sustainable Palm Oil in Jakarta on Thursday. State-owned enterprises PT Inalum Persero officially controls 51% of PT Freeport Indonesia's shares. State-owned company PT Inalum Persero has signed a sales and purchase agreement with PT Freeport McMoRan and PT Rio Tinto Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday. A total of 92 cyclists from 25 nations and grouped in 19 teams participated in the International Tour de Banyuwangi Ijen 2018 that was flagged off by Banyuwangi District Head Azwar Anas in Banyuwangi, East Java on Wednesday. That was the news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism object of Taman Gandrung Terrakota. Stay tuned. Listeners, on 22nd September 2018, Banyuwangi Regency East Java has just inaugurated Taman Gandrung Terrakota, the tourism icon of Banyuwangi that will attract young tourists, has hundreds of Gandrung dance statues. The park becomes special because it was built at terraced rice fields under Mount Ijen located in Jiwa Jawa Ijen Resort, Licin Sub-District Banyuwangi. According to Sigit Pramono, an initiator of Taman Gandrung Terrakota, the park is a site to preserve and reconcile Gandrung dance as one of cultural identities of Banyuwangi. Moreover, he said that Gandrung art is a form of gratitude of flourishing agriculture output. Therefore, the site of Rawatari Gandrung is located at rice farming, where the farmers keep plowing rice fields by buffalo, planting and cropping paddy. Listeners, Taman Gandrung Terracotta is inspired by terracotta warrior and horses in China, which was built at Qin Shi Huang during the Emperor era in 259 until 210 before century. The setting involved art curators from Galeri Nasional Indonesia and a lecturer of Institut Seni Indonesia Yogyakarta, Dr. Suwarno Wesetrotomo. There are about 1,000 statues of Gandrung dance at the park. The statues are placed separately and collectively. The park is called Terracotta because it is another name of putri that is used as a basic material of visualization for Gandrung dance. Listeners, models of statue at Taman Gandrung Terracotta are taken by a photographer, Sigit Photos. Then, the photos were created to be statues by Budi Santoso artists and were printed by statue makers in Kasongan, Yogyakarta. The statues were made manually one by one. Even though they have the same formation, they are some differences. The major differences are facial expression and smiles of Gandrung dance. The statues were made of putri such as burnt clay. It was made of putri because the putri has strong philosophy related to Gandrung dance. It is meant to be closer with nature based on the philosophy of life. Listeners, if you are in Taman Gandrung Terracotta, you can enjoy beauty of Mount Ijen, whose height is 2,443 meters above sea level at the west side. Mount Ijen has crater which radiates blue flame globally. Looking at the east side, there is blue aura of Bali Strait. You can enjoy not only a series of statues of Gandrung dance, but also green hills and terrace rice fields, farmers flowering rice fields, coffee farm durian trees, various kinds of bamboos, and local endemic plants at the park. They are open amphitheater for scheduled art show-off and jazz music exhibition at the middle of the park. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for Today edition about Taman Gandrung Terracotta. We meet again for another interesting topic. See you. Thank you for listening.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today I will present you information about ITB researchers develop cockroach robots for intelligence operations. Stay tuned with us in www.voinews.id. listeners, researchers of Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, developed cockroach-shaped robots for silent intelligence operations. The superiority is that the robots can later do tapping and reconnaissance like in the movies. The development of the robots is based on the absence of insect-shaped robot technology that is marketed, except only for toy capacity. Meanwhile, the need for silent monitoring technology is in demand. The Crocoach robots are developed by a team led by Agi Widyo Triyotmo, PhD, from the Instrumentation and Control Expertise Group, the ITB Faculty of Industrial Technology, and assisted by bachelor and magister students. The developed work carried out at the Faculty of Industrial Technology, Instrumentation and Metrology Laboratory. Agi Widyo Triyotmo explains that the Crocoach robots are currently in the developed stage. The function has been tested but has not been placed into a crocodile-shaped cover. He targets that at the end of the year, the stage will be finished. The robots are expected to be able to collect data and information needed for easily and precisely. Therefore, the Instrumentation and Control Expertise Group collaborates with the Biomedia Animal Development and Animal Physiology Expertise Group. The Crocoach robot has a nano controller device, a mini computer, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, a sensor, a 5-megapixel camera that can autofocus, and it is equipped with a microphone for sound tapping. It is also equipped with two motors as a driver and communication between one robot and another robot using connected Wi-Fi. In subsequent developments, the robot will be minimized because the current size is too big to be used as surveillance device. Agi wants the Crocoach robot to have a face tracking application or can follow the targeted human face. In its recognition, this robot is looking for a location in the corner so it is not seen in the middle of the crowd. That was miscellany for today with the topic ITB researchers develop crocodile robots for intelligence operations. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Bali. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or application RR Play or frequency 3325 kHz. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Ratu Anom, sung by Imoni featuring Bella Delvia. The Balinese song is composed by I Gusti Ngurah Alit Jambe Pemecutan, King of Badung, for his lover Aa Ayu Oka. The song is a sign of love by I Gusti Ngurah Alit Jambe Pemecutan. Listeners, here is Ratu Anom.
Alkisah di sebuah kerajaan, saat pagi menjelang, seorang pangeran yang tertidur dengan lelap, tiba-tiba ia terbangun mendengar merdunya sayup-sayup alunan suara seruling dari seseorang yang memainkannya di luar sana. Anom metangi mengileng-mileng, Ratu Anom metangi mengileng-mileng, dong pirengan bunyin sulingi dicabut. Dong pirengan bunyin sulingi dicabut.
Jabat tangan
Listeners, you have just listened to the first song entitled Ratu Anom, sung by Imoni featuring Bella Delphia. The song has repetitive lyric. Its melody is really easy listening. Ratu Anom is categorized as kids song because it is often sung by Balinese children at school or home. The next song that we will play is Mother Cenik, sung by Imoni. The song contains of messages and values of life. Listeners, let's listen to Mother Cenik.
Ning ning cenik, mai da ma pelayanan di rurongnya. Ning ning cenik, liu motor gruang grueng di margine. Kaden subah sebilang wai tutoren memelan bapa apang tu sing cara made cenik lilek motor di bisanya lilek motor di bisanya motor badung kekianya motor badung kekianya gede bagai muat batu batu cina bais lantang cungu bara bais lantang cungu bara mangum mangum mang ijo dar mangum mangum mang ijo dar mata tulup ha
Listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Mother Cenik, sung by Imoni. In Balinese language, cenik means small. It means if we always feel small or unable or underestimated, we will be eroded by montor, whose meaning is developed. We will be eroded by montor, whose meaning is development of the times. Listeners, to conclude our segment music corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Meong Meong, sung by Ethnic Harmony Bali. The song consists of 5 lyrics which are repeated and tell about a cat. The cat keeps looking for mouse, which always makes trouble. Like the song entitled Ratu Anom, the song is also Balinese kids song. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia. and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.